It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business on the Voice of New York 710 WOR. Yeah, and my guest this evening, none other than Ira Zlotowicz, founder and CEO of Gparency. And we're going to be talking about, you know, really the main topic, streamlining CRE transactions. Streamlining CRE, commercial real estate, of course. And we're going to be talking about the benefits and the risks of investing in real estate and the strategies to getting into the world of real estate. Well, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business. By the way, yes, we just came out, just checked the stats. We are number 3 in New York AM radio, according to the Nielsen ratings. That is a testament to the great guests that we have every single week and the listenership. Special, special thank you. By the way, to pick up all the past guests that we've had on the show, mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and on the powerful, robust YouTube channel, you can get the interview I just had recently with Joe Hart, the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. Dale Carnegie Services, 400 of the Fortune 500 companies, and so many other incredible guests. They're up on the YouTube channel. On YouTube, we're at 710 WOR, Mind Your Business. And when you click on subscribe, you're automatically notified every single time. In fact, my interview with Ira Zlotowicz, it will go up on YouTube in the next couple of weeks. You want to be notified? Yes, subscribe on YouTube, 710 WOR, Mind Your Business. Special shout out to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group and to Darren, Peter, and Robert at 710 WOR. Special thank you, Zeb Brenner. Thank you for the shout out. And we're syndicated on many platforms. Nucky Radio, we have a column in the Jewish Home based on the interviews, the business class clips, which reach over 25,000 people every single day. Without further ado, Ira Zlotowicz. Ira, the founder and CEO of Gparency, thank you so much for carving out of your crazy hectic schedule and joining me here on the set, Mind Your Business. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's great to be back. And like the new studio, last time in a different studio.
That's right.
Upgrade here.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Let's talk about Gparency. It's a dynamic brokerage marketplace that streamlines the commercial real estate experience. A membership-based commercial mortgage brokerage. They specialize in assisting players in finding, financing, underwriting, and tracking their deals within minutes. Ira, the last time you were here, I don't want to say you were in a different career. You're in the real estate space, but you founded and were running a major company. I don't want to say you threw it all away, but I don't know what got into you. You decided to take some type of crazy risk and jump into Gparency. First, can you tell us about your backstory and then like you know, what happened to you? You took some big gamble here.
Thank you very much. So I would like to believe as my former partner, I'm still a partner, but I live day to day with him in the business, used to say that there were two train companies. One's tagline was something best in transportation and one was best in train transportation.
Okay.
One best in train transportation doesn't exist. How do you get around today? Cars and planes and whatnot. The other one still exists. They adapted. I always call myself a trusted advisor. So, you know, it's time to stay ahead of the curve. I went into the brokerage business, the mortgage brokerage business, as a trusted advisor. And then as the market evolved and I saw, you know, the technology was also changing, I felt that to be able to stay that trusted advisor and be able to provide that same value as the market's going to change, just to evolve to a different business model. So I use it similar to the way they call Netflix versus Blockbuster.
That's right.
So I used to read these books. I said, I'll never want to be Netflix out of my own business. And I said to myself that I saw the handwriting on the wall then. Then 2 years ago, people said, crazy, the market's going amazing. Right. Why make a change? Why make a risk? And today, where it's most self-evident. We just rolled out a few, our marketplace, the technologies. People say, wow, there's a big difference in the world providing a value. Then who thought about technology when it came to commercial real estate? It was all about, you know, the human interaction only, the broker. So on one hand, yes, you can't time a market. Maybe I could have waited six more months out of the old market before I went. But thank God I saw that, you know, we were fortunate to be doing $5 billion a year in transactions. We're number 3 in America in the number of transactions a year. But I felt when the next market corrected itself, that business was going to change totally. Just like travel agents change, stockbrokers change, it's going to change drastically. And now people are starting to see it now as we speak. So it's not that, it's like, you know, take that risk. I don't want to be Netflix out of my business. You got to become that Netflix and take that risk at that time. So glad I did. Tough 2 years, but thank God we took that risk.
Now, G-Parency was officially founded in 21?
Yeah, in November of 21.
Okay, so it's less than 2 years old as of this interview, which is coming, which is taking place in August of 23. In 22, you were named one of the top 50 startups by LinkedIn. Okay, how did that, I mean, that's like, that liftoff is like just wow.
Right, so I appreciate that. So actually what's interesting is that normally as being into marketing, so you try to find, you apply to certain things. This was like out of left field. We didn't even apply to it. And you know, we reached out to LinkedIn and they said, like, how did you, like, no one applied. They actually said, that's the power of LinkedIn numbers. They know where things are at. They're not, it's not, you know, a lot of surveys, they get an opinion. You say you're great, they interview, they check people out, but you can't fudge by the numbers. You know, that's
Can we ask when you had Cranes 40 under 40, how did that come about?
So Cranes 40 under 40, that came about, I met a news reporter once, and, you know, Cranes, like, and then, like, I got a phone call back like 6 months later that I was nominated. But it came again because that news reporter remembered when they met me, they went through. So, you know what I mean? Like, that was the...
But here with LinkedIn, it was driven by the numbers.
It's driven by the numbers. It was, thank God.
Now, let's talk about that. Again, when you started in 21, it was a, is it fair to say, a crazy risk? Okay, to you, it was more calculated because you understood.
You know, when people invest in real estate, and there's two terminologies that get used. One is called cash on cash. I put in a dollar. How much cash am I getting back? Mm-hmm. Another thing is called IRR. It's more complicated. Basically, over the life of the investment, I don't care if I get 0 year 1 and 0 year 2. Would I make up enough in 3, 4, 5, 6 when I sell it to make up for that lost time? To me, the cash on cash was a terrible idea. I was going into the world, educating them that they could get the same services potentially just by paying a subscription to me. Or they could pay me a measly $4,500 to place a deal when brokers are charging sometimes $100,000, $500,000 fees. So I was going to a place where if it wasn't successful, I bet the house. Yeah. So I'm educating people to that the old way is going to change and how people are going to go. So yeah, so at that time, but I was pretty confident in the IRR. I was pretty confident that when the market was going to change, would settle in, they'll make up for that lost time. Because the other business has also its flaws. As now it's becoming clear in the current market today with the amount of how business is taking place.
Ira, I just want to still hold on for a minute here. You were running a successful business. And then 21, you decided, okay, I have the vision for something. But there's risk involved. And it was a comfortable position that you were at beforehand. What were some of the risks involved? Maybe you could discuss that from that angle.
So there were a lot of risks. It was nerve-wracking. I'd like to believe it was calculated at that time. Okay. You know, what made it more comforting is that it was the largest seed round from venture capital. So there was money in the bank and a belief. There's over 100 real estate professionals, 150 real estate professionals invested in the company. But still the risk. The biggest risk was, what was going to be the reaction of the players at that time? Number one. And with clients' skepticism, ready for a change. So on the first part, what was interesting is that, you know, I was thinking to myself in my mind, what would I do if a competitor did this? But I matched them, not match them. Think about the Blockbuster story. So I took it. It's in the beginning. I said, if they match me, that was the only trouble I could have. But they're not going to match me because they're not going to give their business overnight. I at least have a plan to go into. So that didn't happen. But I thought that maybe they were going to get together, a few of them, and call up the banks and say, if you take deals from G-Parency, we're never doing business with you again. And then hold them like you see in industries. What I realized when I opened up, that was a big fear. It was my biggest fear that... When I opened up, they didn't take that approach. Not because they're nice. They didn't take the approach because, number one, that they so believed that, like, they're never going to have competition. Like, this little thing is going to compete again. This idea is never going to compete against them. So it worked in my favor. They knocked that day. You always need a broker. You need a person. You need this. Even though I agree you need a broker and a person. But they were taking the quotes out of context. But no problem. That was one. It was a help. Number two, the commercial real estate business. And that's why I've been trying to tackle it. Is so fragmented. If you look at every other industry in the world, look at the iPhone. What percent does the iPhone have a market share? What percent does a certain car company have? There's huge market shares. The number one brokerage firm in the country had less than a 10% market share. So there's no like, and there's so many lenders, and everyone has a different. So when I realized that, that's the beauty of the business. I'm in a space now where I have the whole market open to me. So that was my fear. Once I got past a few months in, then no one anticipated how quickly the market was going to slow. But but I have a marketplace. I have a technology. So that technology applies to everyone involved in real estate at that time.
Amazing. I want to ask how many of the other companies actually leverage your own technology.
No, I'm not. So I do know that there are several competitors that I know of even tell me openly. By the way, your bank list. How do you think I get your bank list? I get the benefit. I pay a subscription and I have it. Then it comes in under that guide. So, you know, I like to tell people if your broker is using my bank list, right? Yeah, so yeah. It means we have a great bank list. Their counter is, yeah, but you don't know how to use it. Oh, I'm the broker. I know how. So that was like the banter that goes back and forth.
Now, let's talk about the foundation of GParency. What every business exists to solve a pain point in the marketplace. Maybe you can get straight to what was the pain point that GParency solved?
So we used to use the terminology equitable access. If someone came over to you and said, I want to go and get involved in commercial real estate, where do I go? No one has an answer. I didn't have an answer. Start by finding if you get money. Start by someone who's brokering. Call this, go onto this website. And every step is like someone else. Like, you know, you're in a mall and you have to go like to the guide to say, where's the store? How do you go there? And it's not out there. There's no solution. So I wanted to build a front door for commercial real estate. Come to GParency, equitable access. I don't care if you have money, you don't have money, use my tools. Depending to what level you want to engage the tools and use the tools, even if you've really fallen in love, you want to use everything. The top tier membership is only $500 a month or $5,000 a year for your whole company. So anyone will tell you in commercial real estate, there's nothing that you do that's less than $5,000 a year. Right. Like it's not, right. And that was the goal. So we started from zero. There's a freemium model, zero. Okay. There's 100 limited access and unlimited 500. So I want to be the front door. And that's why, and we were saying it before in the intro, we are a brokerage marketplace, which we provide all the tools for a commercial real estate player at any level to find, finance, underwrite, track all the deals, overlay it on a map. And our signature product is if you want a broker to place your deal, we could do that for $4,500. Or for $100, I'll tell you the five banks to go to. So that's how it all wraps together in the system we have. And obviously we have data, we have 100,000 listings, and we have comps on 35 million properties. We have a lot of stuff there, but those little pieces exist in different places. And maybe some of those pieces, people say, oh, there's better data for this here, but holistically come here as a starting point or a place to keep your notes and your documents and organize and alerts. That holistic front door marketplace doesn't exist. So, as you know, working with my dad, when I went into business, my dad told me, he says, let me tell you two things. Build a product that you don't know a way how to make it better. And charge the cheapest you could charge so you don't leave room for competition to get in. So of late, when people start seeing the calculator we rolled out a couple of weeks, beginning of July, they said, wow, I spent $2 million on a calculator that any novice could also know what they're doing and could underwrite a deal, IRR, cash and cash, splits and share, and talk like they know what questions to ask just from it. I did a real estate course that uses the calculator as an overlay. And when people look at this, they're like, how much is this? Oh, free. You're not charging us to play with it? You're saying, if I only have less than 25 deals, I never pay you? No problem. So they say, and even the top does five talents too cheap. What's the catch? There's no catch. Because you know what the answer is? There's 10 million commercial real estate players. You're either a GP, you buy real estate, you're an LP, or you're a service provider that markets the GPs. So I allow you, even if you're a service provider, the building we're in, if there was a title company or there was a general contractor, could go to this property and say, I was the service provider. When someone's on the map in the area looking at a building across the street, they say, oh, there's someone connected across the street. Call the person up. It's a human side of the business. Say, hey, what's going on? So I have a product that's accessible for 10 million people in commercial real estate at any level. And there's a certain percent that will use all the services. And $100 a month and $125 move up to the highest at $500.
My guest is Iris Lotto. It's founder and CEO of GParency. Tonight's show brought to you in part by GParency, GParency.com, right? That's where someone would go to find out more information. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
The defining moment in your life could be transformational. And when that moment comes, you need to be prepared with emotional intelligence. Hi, I'm Chuck Garcia. author of Amazon's bestseller, A Climb to the Top, and my new book called The Moment That Defines Your Life is coming out in February 2024. Learn how to integrate modern practices of emotional intelligence with classic Stoic philosophies. Pre-order on Amazon today.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is, you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com, where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. dalecarnegie.com.
To be successful, you need to understand what you do best and do more of it.
One of the gifts I believe that we have as entrepreneurs is to be blue sky visionaries, come up with amazing ideas, yet you're only as good as your execution. I've always had coaches my entire life. Once I got into business, coaching for me was a natural must-have. What I found in the past was most coaching programs were more focused around me earning a certain amount of income or taking a certain amount of time off versus me building a business that has value far beyond me. As soon as I engaged the Covenant Group, I could distinctly see that difference.
Working with the Covenant Group, I've gotten away from being controlling about so many of the facets of our business. It has given the people that are in my organization freedom to be creative, freedom to actually develop better ways to do things. I need a coach to help evaluate those things I'm blind to. If you have a blind spot, you don't see it. Without the coach, the process in and of itself is powerful. But the coach makes it work for a guy like me, and I think, frankly, for most people.
One of the greatest benefits of working with the Covenant Group is helping to identify, what is it I do best?
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
We're back. Mind Your Business with Lisa Kassavetes right here on 710 WOR, the voice of New York, and around the world on the powerful iHeartRadio network. My guest, Iris Lodowitz, the founder and CEO of GParency, and he actually is, you know, anyone that knows Iris Lodowitz knows that he's very frank, very upfront, and very transparent, and it's no different tonight. He's sharing a lot of secrets. I'm surprised by how much he's sharing, but what can I say? Thank you. Thank you for being so open and frank and honest and transparent so that people could see.
Hence the name, GParency.
GParency.
GP Transparency.
That's what it is. Wow. I'm going to go to a question that's probably on many people's minds because, again, for all the people out there that are in and have been in real estate for many years, they know the answers to these type of questions. But let's say there's someone out there that has an extra 10, 25,000, whatever it is. Is there a certain threshold that a person who is, we're going to talk about LPs soon.
This is LPs, correct.
So this is really at the core of being an LP, a limited partner. They have a separate business. They're in B2C. They have an eyeglass store. But they have some extra cash to invest. And they're saying, you know, okay, interest rates. Okay, now it's actually, let's say, pretty good. But still, there's like they've heard real estate, Shlish Bakarka. There's real estate. I should put money in real estate. What is like a certain, is there a minimum threshold to be thinking to jump into real estate investing?
So I'm going to answer this question. Like I was saying before, we want to be the front door. So let me start to the other extreme.
Okay.
We have like, we call it two personas. There's GP Gary.
Okay.
Who is the big real estate tycoon who you think of. Or acquisition analyst. I'm just starting.
Okay.
So the acquisition analyst could be one of two people.
Okay.
It could be someone that's looking to invest with a GP Gary. Or, say, the glasses store wants to stop buying real estate. So there's just really a few points to really I want to give as a backbone for real estate investing. From all the years of experience and spending time with GPs and LPs, and you know, now obviously all the nightmare stories come out. It wasn't as great as they thought, and now people say this is the time to invest because the right price. Everyone has a different timing, you know. So I think number one is you have to realize when you go into real estate, it's an illiquid asset. That means you put your money in the bank, you can pull it out whenever you want. You buy a stock, you can pull it out. Real estate, you can't pull it out when you want. It's you're going to sell it when the time comes to sell. If you're desperate for the money, you're going to lose it all because you're going to sell it at a discount. So it's an illiquid asset. Mm. It's a type of deal where you're putting away for the long term, number one. It has depreciation and tax benefits. That's all fine, but just realize it's an illiquid asset. Number two is that if you're going into real estate, before you look at the numbers of any deal, the first thing you want to do is look at the person. You want to go follow someone that you trust, that's honest, that you believe has your, you know, obviously they have an ulterior motive to a certain extent because that's how they make money, but it's usually aligned. And you want to try to go with someone that their motive is if they're successful, you're successful and vice versa, but someone you trust, because a bad deal with a trustworthy person is better than the other way around. So with those two intros, I would also tell you should never, like, this is as an Orthodox Jew being brought up in, you know, the Talmud states, put a third into different things. One of the third is into real estate. So I would say put up to a third into real estate and using that as a cap. As far as a minimum, there's no minimum number. It's about the people you're investing with. If you're buying homes and you decide to get involved in real estate by flipping homes that you could buy somewhere, I don't know if it exists anywhere at these prices, but a $20,000 home, okay, then $20,000 is the whole price. If you're getting a mortgage for 50%, then you're buying it for $10,000, you're putting it down. Then you have closing costs. So I think that there's no, it's the what size of the building that you're buying, number one. Number two, it's the person, the GP. So in real estate investing, it's two people. Basically, there's the GP, the general partner, that person calls all the shots. And then there's the group, the LPs, all the limited partners, the investors that invest in. The GP has a minimum. Each GP could have a minimum. So this GP could say, I only take money, $10,000 checks, $50,000 checks, whatever the license, forget about licensings, just the securities laws, just in simple, that's set up. That's where there certain platforms open that were like crowdfunding, where a crowdfunding platform opened up and said, hey, you have the ability to put in as low as $5,000, and they would invest in a bunch of different deals. My personal opinion and recommendation is the best, if you're investing, you want to really invest directly with the GP. So someone who could put you in touch with the GP. If further you are out in the spectrum, I wouldn't advise that. If you have no other choice, those are options to take. But if everything is even, that's your preference. Because you get to know them, you build a rapport with them, you could grow with them, you could do other things with them. If you're just a check and a number somewhere, like some of the stories you can hear coming out now, they came out on both sides of the equation, but the frustration is more when people like gave to a group, they gave to another group, they gave to another group. But again, if there's a great deal and you trust the end of the movie, that's why there's publicly traded REITs. People can invest in a REIT. Right. That's liquid. You could sell if you wanted to. But that's really a long-winded answer, but I think it gives a general direction across the board.
Now, from your perspective, let's focus on someone who's just thinking about getting into real estate. From your perspective, the investment of time, money, effort, is it worth it for an average person, not someone who has a lot of liquid, but someone who like wants to start dabbling in real estate?
Okay, so again, I'll answer it two-sided. Sure. If the person wants to become a GP, that means they want to be the person that's going to buy the deal and collect other people's money. So if that's the career they're choosing for themselves, then obviously that's the career. Do your due diligence and go in. Your first deal, you should finally find an experienced GP and co-GP. Become like a partner with them together. That person will take the main lead. You'll get a smaller piece of the pie proportionally. And then together you'll raise money on the deal and you build your account from there. If that's on the other side of the equation, like I said, if you have that eyeglass store you mentioned, I think for sure you should go into real estate, right? Because take up to a certain percent with the right person and invest. You know, also like people say, is there a better asset class? Should I invest in these types of deals or those types of deals? Should I do construction, development, land? A lot of this has to do with your own risk tolerance and more around you just like certain things pulls at you. Like I tell people all the time, if I was talking to a group of 30 people right now on the show here, all the listeners,
right,
and I would say, and none of them are in real estate. I take a group not in real estate and I say, you found out that your great uncle left you in a will $10 million and you can't spend it. You have to buy a piece of real estate and live off the return. What would you buy? Some people buy 10 $1 million buildings. Some people buy one $10 million building. Some people buy houses to keep flipping and sell to profit. There's no right or wrong answer. That's why real estate's different strokes, different folks. But the fundamentals, the starting point are the same. Find someone you trust, make sure you do your due diligence, and you know, keep taking the steps from there.
Okay, Ira, this question really applies to anyone embarking into jumping into any type of business. What are some of the potential benefits and the challenges for as it relates to jumping into real estate? And it's a pretty open-ended question. Yeah,
the benefits are the easiest benefits. If it goes well, you buy a building, that area, supply and demand. That's like, you know, think about when industrial. All of a sudden, Amazon's opening warehouses. You could have bought something for $20 million, trudged all along, think it's worth $21 and $22, and all of a sudden, Amazon wants to be that neighborhood, and it goes through the roof. It's worth more than your business inside. Sell it for $40, $50 million. So you could have that kind of upside like crazy. There's tax benefits. All the great things exist on the good. The bad is that you lose a tenant, can't afford the payments. The bank wants to foreclose on you. So there's a lot of these risks that get involved. So that's not your business. So that's why if you're going with a syndicator or a GP that you trust, a general partner that you trust, and they have a good track record, they know the cycles. They know that never take more than this amount of leverage. Or even though I could have maybe have borrowed a little bit more, or I maybe could have taken a loan with and have more of a return, but it's not as long, it's not fixed for the same period of time. You know, maybe I should take it. You know, a couple of years ago, people taking floating rate deals because they said real estate's only getting better and better. Why lock in? Now those people in hindsight don't look great. Today, some people say the opposite. Don't take a long-term rate today. Rates are up. Right. Take a floating rate today because at least you get the benefits going to keep going down. The other people say, no, it's going to keep going up. It's safe. You can't time these things. You can't, you know. I tell a client, what business are you in? The stock business? Buy stocks. If you're in real estate, the loan makes sense today. Take the loan that gives you the safest thing to go do the loan. But other people have different opinions. So if you're going in the ups and downs, it's a risk with anything else, but it has one huge difference than anything else, is that it's illiquid. The pro, though, to a certain extent, if you're a big enough investor in the deal, you have a say in what we should do different for the building. Should we upgrade? Is it worth taking that risk? You invest in Microsoft, you invest in Apple, you invest in Google, you have no say. Right. You know, so that's like some people like the fact they have a say, some people like the fact that there's actual tangible asset. At the end of the day, there's a building here. And if I can figure out to juggle the payments for the next 30 years, one day I don't have a mortgage in theory. There's another game to always borrow as much as you can. You'll see all different strokes of different folks about how they do business based on how their mentor told them how they should buy real estate.
We're speaking with Ira Zlotto. It's tonight's show, Streamlining CRE Transactions, Benefits and Risks of Investing in Real Estate and the Strategies to Getting into the Real Estate World. To find out more information, gparency.com. It's that simple. What about the app? Maybe you can talk about some of the tools you have for smartphones.
Right. So right now, interesting. You mentioned that when we started building out the technology, we found that when it comes to, all the apps are popular all around, but when it comes to doing research on real estate, on commercial real estate, mm-hmm. it's not like Zillow, you see a house, you actually want to see the neighborhood, what's going on in the building next door, you want to see some documents, you want to upload documents. People do, overwhelming majority, they do this from the desktop. So we're really based on, it's not optimized that great, the whole mapping system for the phone. We're getting better, but it's meant for the desktop.
Because at the end of the day, that's really, the person probably has multiple screens open and they're checking different types of information as opposed to...
We're hoping that they don't have to check multiple streams. Like the beauty of our system is, the way I explain it to somebody is that people like to have reference points. Oh, you're like blank, So I tell people, imagine if you had Zillow or Google Maps. We are licensed Google Maps. You have Google Maps overlaid with public data. So I look at a property in Google Maps, say, I wonder when the mortgage was taken. Oh, right there. You don't have to go to another site. Because I bring the in. I wonder if something in the neighborhood closed recently. Oh, these are the buildings with comps in the area, basic comps. Is anything for sale in the neighborhood? Other things? Oh, these buildings have, we have 100,000 properties where we link who the broker is. So you can call the broker what's going on. So you have one, the Google Street View, all the Google functionality overlaid on a map with real estate on top of it. That's the public information. Then you could have your private information. Which deals in the United States do I own? So imagine every time you open up a property, it puts a star in it. It gets added to your pipeline. So, you know, I once saw that building in Brooklyn. What was that address? I once saw a deal in Texas. What was that address? Zoom out of Texas. You'll see where the dot is and zoom down. You see that property. So also, I saw this building 2 years ago. Who's the broker? Put notes in. You could put documents in. So a calculator could underwrite a deal in minutes. You could send an alert if anything goes for sale, closes, or refinances in that neighborhood. So all these tools, it basically takes your world overlaid on top of a map. So it's a marketplace because they have a list of lenders. I have the rates. We actually did ChatGPT is all the rage. So we have, instead of you having to go to the top few real estate sites, it goes to the top few real estate sites, summarize the news. So right there, while you're on this map, marketplace. Whatever you could need is there for you at that time. And that's you keep your notes because, interesting, you speak to the typical person in real estate and, you know, from the LP to the GP, you say, what buildings do you own? I have Excel spreadsheet at the top of my head. There's no system. People have a great systems. All the $1 trillion systems start from the second step. They start once you already know you want to buy this building, then the software to do A, the software to do B, to raise it. But where do you holistically put it all together? Where do you compare notes? Where's the CRM for commercial real estate? Where's that one centralized place?
And that's your platform.
That's the platform.
GParency.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and helicopter charters, 24/6 dispatch center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
Ever wished as you're sitting alone in a corner at one of those networking events that you could connect better with other people? Ever beat yourself up because you didn't speak up again at that meeting? Or been sweating buckets terrified before a presentation because you aren't confident about your public speaking skills? We've all been there. The good news is you can change. For over 100 years, millions of lives have been transformed because of our courses at Dale Carnegie. We develop people's confidence, leadership abilities, communication skills, public speaking skills, and human relations. Both our public courses and customized corporate workshops have proven results. We all have goals, but only a limited amount of time to reach those goals. Let Dale Carnegie help you get there. For further information, visit us online at dalecarnegie.com. That's dalecarnegie.com. where you can explore all the training courses and regional locations that are available to you. DaleCarnegie.com.
A defining moment in your life could be transformational. And when that moment comes, you need to be prepared with emotional intelligence. Hi, I'm Chuck Garcia, author of Amazon's bestseller, A Climb to the Top, and my new book called The Moment That Defines Your Life is coming out in February 2024. Learn how to integrate modern practices of emotional intelligence with classic Stoic philosophies. Pre-order on Amazon today.
And we're back. Mind your business right here on 710 WR and around the world on the powerful iHeartRadio Network. My guest, Ira Zlotowicz, founder and CEO of GParency. Ira, as mentioned before, you're quite transparent. A quick question, if I may, just you know, during the commercial break, came to mind. Earlier, you were discussing a tip that you got from Dad, and that is about creating a product. And one of the ways of being mindful about competition is put it out at a price point that will get tremendous buy-in from the masses, but it will be competitive enough that a competitor will say, I can't do it for that price. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so it really goes with the first piece of that okay. I said. The first piece of advice was build the best product you possibly could build.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Left that part out.
Then with that really applies to anything. And then with that, what is the cheapest that you could sell it for? Not to be a cheap mm-hmm. product. So if I was building, like, I built a brokerage team over all the years. Mm-hmm. I took with me my best broker that worked on my own personal deals. And I just ran the math that if I was able to get, if you look at the life of a mortgage broker, a team could close 100 deals a year. So when we have a product that for about $11,000 or so, we'll do everything from A to Z as a broker, the whole everything. Okay, over time, people just want to place the deal, but let's go with the 11,000. Mm-hmm. Because how do you do it for so cheap? I said, most brokers, how much do you think they make? The people that do actual work, right? They make $500,000. They have an underwriter works for them, $200,000, $300,000. They have an analyst under them for $100,000. They close 100 deals a year. 11,000 times 100 is 1,000,001. It's profitable. Oh, I never realized it that way. Because the universe is charging. Who took the money? The brokerage shop or the broker took the money while the people did the work. So I built the best broker, best brokerage team with all the tools, and you could access that tool, just pay the 11,000. Is that someone tomorrow morning, could they come in for 10,900? I don't know how they're going to do it, but if they did do it, that's not blowing away the competition. Right. Think about when I went into business. Well, you open up a business. Anyone on this, any of your audience, they want to open a business. What's the first thing they say? Barrier to entry. Who's there
right.
now?
Right.
So if there was another company that was charging $20,000 to do a deal and they felt they could do it for 10, or they were charging for a marketplace, giving all these tools for $5,000, 10,000, they could do it for 5,000. Okay. That's your, I think I could do it for cheaper. I could do it better for cheaper. Those are the only two things you could do to improve. I built the product that there's nothing I know that I could make it better, and there's nothing I know that I could do at a cheaper price. So if I'm already the incumbent, what's the odds? Now, will someone come in from a different door or have a reason to lose money on this as a lead gen for their business, which I don't know? Maybe. That could possibly happen. Similarly, I'm sure that there are competitors that I'm in this space that are realizing, hey, they were selling one slug of a tool or one slug of a piece of data that I'm incorporating for free, and why is someone buying their software? Or there was no play in town for a certain thing, so they're able to charge a premium. But now the client says, hey, I go to Gparency for this. Why should I come to you for that? So obviously there's an element that I'm doing to other people happens in business. But I'm not giving someone that's thought out with a business plan to say, let me open this. Also, the cost, you know, when it comes to real estate, that's just a good example in the real estate, you know, conversation. There's always that big debate. What's called a good deal? Is it the right return? So some people have a metric called replacement cost. I bought this building for $10 million. If it burnt down, it would cost $12 million to build. I'm buying it below replacement cost, meaning it can't go down. Like that type of mindset. Obviously, like the Titanic syndrome. When you say it can't go, that's when it goes. So we spent the last 2 years building the technology. And we built it knowing after 20 years of living in this space. And I was dreaming about this for 20 years and knowing what to build and how to build it. Even if someone said they could build it tomorrow, I don't think they could build it for cheaper than we built it right. to get the same brand. But again, is there someone out there that could use me as a lead gen and the whole tool goes, like when Google gave away different features? So that's a risk, but I can't plan for that. Right. You know, like, you know, they talk about when you could plan for a lot of things, if someone's willing to commit suicide, blow themselves up, and they talk about in the war, you can't plan for that. You could plan for a normal case, in the normal case. So can I get competition? We'll have competition, yes. Certain people will be like Blockbuster. They waited too long. They won't be able to compete. But my bigger fear is I'm not worried about the big shops. What I'm worried about is starting to happen now. There's a guy working a shop and he leaves the shop when he realized he was making only a small percent of the commission on a deal. He's only looking to recoup his lousy $200,000. So he could walk into an owner and says, I close your deals. I'll do all your deals a year for $25,000. He gets 10 clients, makes his living, and he goes home. Okay, I lose those 10. But is that a scalable business?
Right.
Maybe, yeah, maybe not. But I'm really a step before that. My goal, people, I'm not looking to be in the mortgage business. My goal is not to sell the $4,500 placement. I'm looking just for the $5,000 a year, build up to that. That's it. If there's 10 million people paying $5,000 a year, or a million people, or 100,000, that's my exit. So people came to invest in the business, and the shareholders came in is because, and I truly believe that we have the potential for 100 times exit. Because there could be competition. I want 10% market share. There's 90% I'm leaving. So even if you came in, and it's good for this, it's different approaches, but I'm finding as time is going in and out, I'm the first door. So that's the long-winded answer. That's what comes together.
Thank you. Let's talk about LPs. Limited partners. Just even before I get into specific questions, perhaps you can just talk about that arena, and especially how Gparency opens up a whole world to that arena.
So when Gparency opened, Gparency is primarily focused, as the name, Gparency, GP, transparency, all the tools that a GP can need. And when we opened up, we said, maybe some basic tools that an LP could benefit also, because they need the same things, calculator, rates, they want to check things out sometimes. Sometimes an LP is a GP, right? So you build certain features, because one of the perks also is, let's do this on a superficial level. LPs want to invest in deals, they don't have access to deals. Right. GPs want the LPs. So if I have a platform, I could connect the two together. But I will tell the audience something that most people don't realize and know, is that When investing in real estate and raising equity, that's a security. It's like selling a stock. So there's a lot of laws that govern it. If you notice, you don't really see too many companies going out there. I'm raising money. Do you want to invest with me? That's called a public solicitation. There's laws against it. There's laws if you do it, what has to take place. It's very costly. Not what you do, how you do. So many GPs can really only go to friends and family and accredited investors. There's a lot of laws that govern it from the GP perspective. Because we're a marketplace, it's an advertising platform. So you can't have a success fee. And GParents' whole business model is we don't take success fees. So we take, you want to engage me, I'll do your deal for the $4,500. You pay up front. How do you know if it's going to produce or not? You hire an attorney. You hire other vendors. If you want to go ahead and take the risk, I'll take the risk. Pay me triple. Pay me double. Pay me 10 times. I'll take the risk. But I'm willing to tell you, just pay the money up front and it's good. Right? And so far, we got great reviews, great feedback. The business is the business. There's no like fluff from there. But on the LP side, same thing. Now, because I'm not in the brokerage, I used to broker equity. You have to be a licensed security. The previous firm had a division. They would broker equity. They charge a big fee because you have to find an LP, convince them you have a reputation risk. For GParents, when you open, the plan was, let me potentially help raising of equity. And the way we were going to help potentially raise equity is that if there were LPs on the platform, we'll make introductions. Obviously, this market is a little thing, so we backburned that idea. What happened now is that as the real estate market went where it went, we're getting so many calls from LPs that, and really it's GPs also. What's happening is a lot of deals went sour. No fault to the GP. They ran the business great. There are bad apples everywhere. But the brand and people started to attack the general GP, the bad. Why did they take a floating rate? Why did they buy this deal? And it's very good being a Monday morning quarterback and knocking them from there. So are there bad apples? Yes. Do I believe the overwhelming did the right thing and tried to do the right thing and are good people? Without a doubt. So a lot of them are calling and saying, you know, GParency is transparency. And like, is there any tools like, you know, I realize LPs have a need. My LPs have a need. They don't even know what the deals are holding, tracking. Could you help out? I'm getting calls like that. So we actually rolled out a feature. This is literally as we speak. It's beta a few days ago. The official launch is tomorrow, you know, where on every single property card, which we discussed before, we added a button called LP. And the LP, instead of their Excel spreadsheet or nothing, the LP can have a ledger, how much they put into the deal, every time they received money, when they received money. They could then say, what are they supposed to get on their next check? What's the frequency, monthly, quarterly, yearly? And then how much? And then set an alert. And the alert will be in the event that you don't update the ledger when you say you're supposed to, or you update it, but lower than you said you're supposed to get, it'll send you an alert. So at least you're in the know. And on top of that, it will give you live what your cash on cash return is. Like I said before, cash on cash and IRR. And you call up the GP and say, if I sold today, what would my lump check be? Mm-hmm. Put it in, it'll calculate live what your IRR would be. So in these scenarios now, we gave a tool for an LP to be in the know. No LP has it. So when we're building this, like, you know, I tell people all the time, one of my clients told me that, and I was speaking to him about the business, how he chooses. He goes, "I the goal in life is to help people and make money. Some people are fortunate enough that they can do both at the same time. You could, on the other hand, work in a soup kitchen. You're helping a lot of people. You're not making a living. Other times you could do the nastiest job, make a lot of money, and you'll have to only be able to help people by using that money to do good. So if you could be in both bets." And I was thinking to myself, like, you know, here's the situation where there's an LP who's in pain, has no way to keep track. It doesn't make sense for them to spend big money. There's no system out there that's LP-centric. There's no system that has the interest of the LP of a system. There's a lot of systems out there, great systems, that are for the GP could buy and say, hey, these are my investors. Let them log into the platform. That's great for the GP view, and the LP helps. But let's say the LP just wants, I don't invest with someone who has a system, or I just want my own dashboard for myself, like my own. There's no system built for them. So I said, hey, here's a win-win. I could add this feature. Some of the GPs requested it. And at the same time, my system works because being free. So you could use the way, like a price system, up to 25 deals at any time. Most don't have 25 deals. And if they do, it's $100 a month they're paying. It's not real money that's making a difference. But at the same time, if that LP is on there and they start using other tools they also have, there's a calculator. They can say, wow, they share it with people. Hey, where did you get this from? Oh, GParency. So this can go ahead and pay
marketing
back.
Marketing value.
It's more like the viral value. It's like, the, you know, I read a book years ago called The Go-Giver. I would love to say, what can I keep building quality and quality and giving and giving and giving? And hopefully that comes back. And so this thing worked out. The GPs are so happy with this move. LPs love it. They have something in front of them. There's documents they could store. The documents they could store. The notes. They could put an alert on the neighborhood. An LP doesn't know anything. They bought a building in Texas. They don't know anything about Texas. Press a button on the property. If anything trades hands in the neighborhood, comes to sale, they know it. They're not like they're in the know. When they get a new deal, they could use the calculator. Even though they don't know real estate, I did a real estate course, loaded onto the site again. Same free value. You could go through the real estate course when you're using the calculator, even if you're a novice, even if you're acquisition Alice, you could go through that real estate course and go through the calculator just by the numbers the client sent you, and you could start realizing what questions to ask. I tell ChatGPT, one of the biggest things at the beginning of ChatGPT was you say, write a contract that I'm buying a building and also draft this contract. People are wowed, you know, the first iteration of it. But you know what the interesting thing is? In that contract, it left blank spaces like Mad Libs. So you knew what you're supposed to ask. Like, and I'll get my deposit will be, I didn't tell you a deposit. It knew you have to have a deposit. Like, you can ask it, what am I missing? So when someone says, tells you, invest in deal, get a 25% return, you call your friend, should I invest? What cap rates are buying you at? What? Oh, you now could take his book, OM, and put it into the calculator, and all this saves at the same time. So it's the same tool. So the same one tool gets everyone in real estate. And my goal is to get that, the GPs, the heavy hitter GPs, use it all the time and move through the funnel.
All right, Ira, we still have around 7-8 minutes left to the show. Before we get back to the LP investment tracker, because I still want to get some more. It sounds too good to be true, and that's really what it. And it sounds like that's exactly what it is. But I would like to get
and
some
leaving
more
no
detail.
Room for competition.
You discussed that as well. But how does the rates are like when you first got into the industry around 25 years ago? The rates are quite high. How does that factor in for an LP? I'm sure you get the question all the time, like, is now the right time to get involved in real estate with the rates so high, or maybe it's a terrible time?
Okay, so I'm going to answer another question for the LP. Okay. It's different from the GP. So the LP, what changed is as follows. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, banks were paying 0%. LPs that make money in their store, in their business. They're thinking about retirement, where they put in their money. So if they found the real estate deal, even if it's throwing about 5%, 8%, 9%, it's some money.
Yeah.
Preferred returns, whatever the terminologies are. Yeah. What's happening now is that an LP could put money in the bank, liquid, pull it out when they want, safe, 4%, 5%, 6%, 3.5%, all different numbers in that range. Mm-hmm. They say, you know something? Unless I'm getting a deal that could price out, the reason why real estate prices are nervous going down is driven by the LPs, part of it. They're not at fault, they're not doing bad. Right. But they say, I'm not going to invest in a deal where you're only going to pay me 7% and my money's illiquid and then only have to wait for it upside down the line. If I can money in the bank at 5.6, I'd rather secure at 5.6 because I don't know what's going to happen with real estate. So they're demanding more. In order for them to demand more, that means the GP has to be able to have more profit to pay.
Right.
They can't pay the same price of the building, right? One of the coolest features when we rolled out this calculator, you know, and we show it to someone that says, you got to do one very important feature. I know the return I need to make. I finished underwriting the whole deal a couple of minutes in. It showed me an IRR 25.3. I know that my investors need a 30%. Just any number, just make up the number. We're adding that with the calculator that's dropping next week. We could type in, I need 30%. It will go back and re-engineer and calculate. If that's the case, this is what you got to pay. So because of that, the seller says, I'm not selling anymore. So it's feeding a lot less transactions. What got us to this point? What got us to this point was that real estate was this opaque business. Who wants to go and deal with tenants? Also, it's a big issue politically in certain states, right? Yeah. They want the government doesn't, I mean, not the government, they don't want landlords to make money. And then they don't understand the whole dynamic of everything. But so that's a level of risk. Then you have, so over in the beginning, real estate kept going up. Bought a building for $10 million, sold it for $12 million, sold it for $14 million, cashed out, refinanced, bought it. Everyone wants to get involved. So someone said, I don't want to take, you know, a GP went over to someone and said, do you want to invest in real estate? And the guy would say yes and raise the money. Then you have LPs approach GPs. That's the being the GPs who have to collect money. Right. LPs say, can I invest with you? Why should I take your money for? Because I'm willing to make less than the other guy. Okay, he might pay 9%. You're willing to take 8? So they're competing against other LPs. Because of that, this GP said, I have cheaper money. Plus rates dropped. Plus rents went up. So whatever got us here, something's an interesting point. Real estate went from being about bricks and mortar, right? The real estate, to financial engineering. So now that real estate prices went up, now that rates are up, inflation's up, everything that got us here is exactly the opposite. It's nerve-wracking to invest in real estate sometimes. People get scared. it's illiquid. I don't know if I'm cashing out 2 years from now. Last deal is 2 years later, flip a house, you get it back. I don't know if I'm getting it back that fast. You want me to lock it for long term? I got to make a much higher premium. Now the seller says, whoa. I was selling this property at $10 million. You want to offer me $9 million? I'm not selling. What do I do with the money? In the last market, the guy's, I'm not selling for 10. Okay, I'll pay you 11. Now it's just the opposite. So for an LP sometimes, you know, where a few clients put the perspective, and I agree with it, is that a deal today is probably, if you go into it today, is probably a safer deal. If you actually go into it, because by the time you're ready, the rates are up. Right. So there's room to go down, more room to go down than up.
Right.
You calculated the rents are not growing. Yeah, if it makes sense today, it should make sense over time. As opposed to a few years ago, deal works. What if, rates are going to keep, never going to go up. Rents are never going to go down. Now it's the opposite, which makes it a positive. But for an LP, there's a level of, you want to make sure that the people you're investing with today are definitely honest. Are they doing a deal to save themselves for another deal, or are they doing the right deal? So ask these questions. Be transparent.
All right, before I get to my last question, just to close out on the LP investment tracker. Again, you just launched it. It's also on the...
It's gparency.com. You go to gparency.com, you log into the marketplace, and you're in.
And it's an app? You have it as an app?
You know, it's not an app. It's mobile. Right. It works mobile. Go to the screen.
Yeah. Right, I saw it, but it's mobile friendly. It's all set up.
I want to take something that to go to an office, people are coming to the business. So I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. I respond to all the messages on LinkedIn. I definitely see them. People always want to go to other platforms because if I went to a bunch of other platforms, I couldn't be responding to the messaging there. But I will say to the audience, if someone has a real estate question, I will give out my cell number. And you could WhatsApp me. I prefer WhatsApp or text. I definitely see it. Try to respond. It's 917-597-2197. I have one number. I don't have four different numbers of different groups and different people. And to email me, is iraz@gparency.com. If it's a quicker question, probably as an email, because then I could forward it to the right person on my team to be able to go and help you. And this is what my goal is. My goal is to, you know, as much as I could give back, I'd rather, like I said, if I can make money and help people at the same time, why do I have to go do two different businesses? Let's do it all together at the same time. So gparency.com, it's built for that. It's mobile. It works on mobile. Not that great compared to the desktop. We're going to get that better, but that's where we're at.
Before we close out the show, you also have your finger on the pulse, and you're known to kind of look into the future. What are some tips, just as we close in the last minute or two, that you could share with the audience? That kind of a trend that you see coming up ahead. We all know that those that follow you on LinkedIn, you called it ChatGPT and the AI revolution early on. Embrace it. Learn it. Don't let it pass you by. What are some other tips you could share for whatever industry you're in?
I think that the most important thing, I think the trend is going to, we're going more to a world of gig economy. And I said this years ago with Uber, that's the best example. You know, I have a car. I met this guy. I took an Uber. Really looked professional guy. I said, you're an Uber driver? Like, didn't fit in the beginning, the stereotype. He goes, I work in downtown. I used to take the train. I wanted to have a car. So I signed up as Uber. I leave my house extra 50 minutes earlier. I put the destination in my office building. I drive to work along the way. I rides. And when I leave, I can leave that second. I have to wait on a train. And I go back home.
And I make money.
And it covers the cost of the gas and the tolls. And now I have a car. So the world we live in is a world of, like, my whole company is remote. And I hire experts in each space. So I don't hire a marketing guy or marketing gal. I hire, what's your expertise? We need someone for SEO. I'm hiring SEO. I need someone for CRO, conversion rate optimization. I need someone to do different. I hire each niche of each person, but if they don't use ChatGPT, I don't use them. If they're not using AI, I'm not using them. Once I'm ahead of the curve. So I just think that, I think it's going to happen going forward is that a lot of companies, especially if you're using remote, are going to say, what's the difference if this person's working for me part-time, full-time? What's the difference where the world is sitting? And I think that equilibrium is going to start coming out there. People can say, I'm going to hire for a niche. So if you have a great niche of what you do, then you're going to be able to charge hourly for that at a higher rate. You'll have more clients and customers. So that's coming more and more fractured. Like, do I need a CFO caliber, or would I take fractured CFO? Do I need a CMO? Fractured CMO. What am I missing? Take the pieces you're missing. And, you know, so I have in my office great coordinators, executionists. They could execute and follow through. But then it works great if you have a high-level CMO, because they put the glue together. And we have these. So I think that's where the trend is going to. So staying ahead of the curve, but know that's where it's going to go. If you have a job, those are opportunities for you, and your boss is probably looking to see what's the best of you. They'd rather have you only for the expertise you bring to the table. I think that's where the trend is, the next thing going to come to the economy.
What an incredible show. Iris Ladowitz, thank you so much for joining me here on the set on 710 WOR, the voice of New York. This wraps up a great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 710 WOR. Have a successful week.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.